And hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Jose, and I'm grateful to be here with you guys for today. So before we get started, you know, we do our usual use, you know, the announcements. If you guys aren't following us on Facebook, go look on Facebook for Wild About Animals. At Facebook, join, be a part of the wild family, and be a part of the community. It keeps you up to date on what's going on. Same thing applies. If you guys would like me to answer any of your questions live, go on the Facebook page. Like we said before, there's a link, and you can post and send me your questions live. And I'll be able to answer them live while the podcast is going on. Now, another big announcement, or it's not a big one. If you guys have heard, Spotify has put out Spotify Green Room. I saw it the other day. I have it on my phone. And I believe it's an app where I'll be able to do a podcast live. And I think you guys will be able to join me, which I thought would probably be a cool little something we could do, you know, as a, you know, go in there or whatever. So whenever I get that set up, I'll let you guys know. I gotta test it out and see, but you know, I just thought I'd let you guys know that this is called Spotify Green Room. If any of you decide that you want to get it, you know, that could be something fun we could do, you know, later down the line, of course. But anyway, but that's pretty much all the announcements that I have for today. But I do want to give you guys a little, I guess, not a forewarning, but like a little heads up about what today's show, because obviously we're going to be talking about butterflies as a whole. But as most of you know, butterflies just don't start out as butterflies. They actually start out as caterpillars, then they turn into butterflies. But the reason I'm saying this is because I don't want you guys to think that if I start, because the podcast is going to be starting off with me talking about caterpillars, and then we're going to end on butterflies, because again, like I said, butterflies start off as caterpillars, and then, you know, gradually they turn into it. So we're going to be starting from the beginning, and then we're going to be working our way to what the topic is today. But other than that, that's pretty much all the announcements I have. So we're going to take a small break and let the announcement roll, and we will be right back. Hey guys, this is your host Jose from the Wild About Animals podcast, and I just wanted to ask you guys, have you ever wondered if you guys could send me questions and I could answer you guys' live while the show was going on? Well, now I can. Thanks to Anchor, there's a link that I sent you guys on the Facebook page at Wild About Animals on Facebook, where if you leave me your questions, whether you type them or you can leave a voice message, I can actually answer it live while the show is going on. So if you really got some questions, go ahead and click that link and start today. Alright guys, and we're back from that break. I hope you guys are ready to get a little wild. So if you're ready to get started on our podcast, we are going to be talking about butterflies. And like I said before, we're going to start from the very beginning, because butterflies just don't pop up out of the air. They actually start from an egg. You know, the actual stages of life for butterflies, they start out as an egg. And then once that egg pops out, they pop out in their larval stage, which is called a caterpillar, as most of you now may know. Now, what most people probably wonder about caterpillars, if you've seen them, you've probably seen them, you just know, just crawling around. But majority, if not all, of the caterpillar's life of what it does before it turns into a pupa is he eats. And when he eats a lot. Like, it's even been shown that the first meal that caterpillars have is their own egg. But the egg actually is very nutritious, and it actually gets the caterpillar started on a very healthy diet towards it growing. Because the caterpillar's main objective, the main goal of a caterpillar, is to eat and grow. There's really nothing else that it does. You know, so pretty much that's really what the larval stage for them is. It spans about a couple weeks, and it'll grow exponentially. You know, in fact, it grows about, if I'm not mistaken, because I'm reading through my notes, basically, how it happens, it'll eat to a point, and then it'll molt. And every time it molts, it gets a little bigger, and it gets a little bigger, and it gets a little bigger every single time that it molts. And then, but the caterpillar eats about almost between 27,000 times its own body weight during its entire lifespan. That's pretty significant when you think about that. Because for me personally, it's like, you know, it's constantly eating. It's like the caterpillar is gorging itself. It's like it has to get all this nutrition, you know, out of the plants. And there are some carnivorous species of caterpillars out there. They're not as prevalent as the ones that eat plants, but there are some caterpillars who do partake in predation. But majority of caterpillars, they usually eat plants. Now, you're probably sitting here thinking, well, if these guys are just rolling around just eating constantly and not, do they just get picked off? Well, the thing about it is most caterpillars, caterpillars have some type of ways to defend themselves if the push gets, if it gets tough for them. Some will use camouflage. They'll try to blend in, like some will be green to blend in with leaves or bark or whatever the natural foliage is. Others will mimic other things. There have been some species of caterpillars or butterfly species who, when they're caterpillars, they will actually imitate bird poop, not the smell, just the look of it. And most animals avoid poop. So if you can look like bird poop, then I'm pretty sure most animals will avoid you. There's even some that will try to scare off predators by having these eye spots on the top of their head. And then they'll rear up and then they'll have their antenna come out and it'll make them appear like they're a snake, because a lot of birds won't mess with a snake, because most birds won't mess with snakes because snakes eat birds. But they will even imitate being a snake to scare off other predators. There are even some caterpillars, and studies have shown this, there are caterpillars who will eat poisonous leaves, and they will absorb the poison of the plant into their body. They're immune to it. But if predators start eating these caterpillars, then they'll start to negotiate these caterpillars with a bad taste, because most of the time when animals, and some will even use colors to let them know this, like in the animal kingdom, sometimes animals will use bright colors. You would think they wouldn't want to get attention, but some animals will use bright colors to make themselves known and be like, "Hey, you might not want to eat me. I taste really bad. I'm just showing off these bright colors to let you know this." And caterpillars will do this, and sometimes they'll even go into their adulthood of butterflies and still use the same mechanics with their colorful wings, So I thought that was a little interesting to know that, butterfly, not butterfly, sorry, caterpillars have several ways that they can defend themselves, even though they come across as just these bugs that just sit there and eat. Now, when the caterpillar gets fully grown and it consistently has eaten till it's filled, what'll happen is the little guy will go up to, he'll crawl to a point or wherever he feels is comfortable, and he'll turn up with his, butt facing up, and he'll start making like he's molting again, but instead he's making silk, and it's gonna make this little chrysalis around his body. I'm pretty sure you guys have seen a chrysalis of a butterfly or whatever. And pretty much when he gets to this point, the caterpillar doesn't move at all. Becomes very, very still, doesn't move. Now, what this moment is the pupa stage of the butterfly. Pretty much this is the point when the caterpillar turns into the butterfly. Now, what goes on inside of that, I don't believe we know quite sure yet what goes on. But I guess at that point, that's pretty much when the caterpillar body breaks down, and then the adult butterfly body comes into it. But pretty much when you look at it, you'll probably see it's like not see-through. It's like usually they're green or brown, depending on the species, but you can't really see anything. But as time goes on, you can kind of start getting see-through, and you can actually see the butterfly inside. Now, when the butterfly gets to the point where it's actually ready to come out, what typically happens is when they're ready to come out, they will come out of the bottom. They have these two sharp claws that are loaded at the joints at the base of their forewings, and they basically emerge from the cocoon. And then usually what most butterflies will do, and I'm pretty sure you guys have seen this, is they will perch somewhere nearby, and their wings will be rolled up. It's because their wings do not have the proper nutrition in them or body fluid to actually get going, because butterflies have to have warmth to actually fly. They cannot fly if their wings are cold. So typically what they'll do for several hours is they'll just sit there and they'll just let their wings dry, get the blood pumping through, and then usually that's when they're ready to real rested, and then they can take their first flight. Now, when we get to this point, most people know, you know, butterflies, you know, they're very pretty, you know, very beautiful animals. You know, they're some of my favorites. But what exactly does a butterfly eat? Or better yet, how does it eat? Well, the butterfly mouth part is very modified because it can only eat liquid. They do not have teeth. They do not, you know, they don't have a jaw. They have a proboscis, which is, I guess, the best way to compare that to is it's like they have a straw in their mouth, and they use that, you know, to eat nectar. There's some that eat sap, and then there's even some butterflies who will sip on carrion. And by sip, I mean they will drink the blood. There have been studies that show that butterflies will fly to a dead body and they will drink the blood of said animal because they do get some nutrients from that, you know. But no matter what the meal is, they're going to suck it up like a straw. So, but you probably see the proboscis. If you look, it's like that long straw thing that they have in front of their mouth and that's curled up. That is its mouth, and that's the main way that it uses to eat all its liquid diet, like we said before. Now, you're probably wondering, well, if it doesn't have a mouth, then how does it know how everything tastes? Well, butterflies have taste receptors in their feet, and they can actually use this to actually see, you know, how this plant or whatever is beneath them tastes. In fact, female butterflies can actually use this to actually identify the right place to lay her eggs, you know, and pretty much they'll use it to also to see what has the most nutrients. And females will actually use these to determine, you know, what exactly, you know, can improve, what can make her lay more eggs or improve her chances of mating, you know, because they can't just get all the nutrients from sugar, you know, just sugar and sap and all this stuff alone. They have to find other ways to get it. In fact, another way that they can get these nutrients is sometimes butterflies will sip from mud puddles, which is rich in minerals and salt. And I've never seen this before. It would kind of make sense because it's like they can't really get all the nutrients they get, like I said before, from sugar. So they have to get it from somewhere else, you know. And again, this also helps with them getting nutrients for their eggs and to improve their mating and all this other stuff, you know. So I thought that was a pretty cool little fact that I found too. Another thing, even though it's about 8 to 12 feet, a butterfly's eyesight is actually quite good. Anything like in the distance is a little blurry for them. But the cool thing about it is, and I guess it would kind of make sense for them, is that butterflies can actually see colors, which would probably have helped them throughout, you know, evolution-wise, because, as you all know, flowers are very brightly colored. So with the fact that they can actually see colors, it probably helps them find flowers. And if they can see certain colors, you know, then that kind of determines what flowers are probably better for them. I guess it depends on the butterfly species. But not only that, it's like they can also see ultraviolet colors that are invisible to us because flowers do give that off. And it also probably helps them identify mates because they can actually see the color of the bright wings. Now, like I stated before with the caterpillar, butterflies may be on the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to the food chain, but they do have unique ways of protecting themselves. One of the ways is, again, like I stated before, some will use their brightly colored wings to tell predators, hey, you might not want to eat me because I'm going to taste bad. Or some butterfly species have been known to actually, when predators eat them, they do get sick. And then they'll remember next time not to eat that butterfly because it's going to get sick. And then the other cool thing that I also researched was, it also said that most people, I didn't even know this either, that butterflies have 4 wings instead of 2. It looks like they have 2 if you look at them really quickly. But guys, they really have 4 wings. And not only that, they're also very thin. They're made out of, I'm probably going to say this wrong, but they're made out of, their wings are made out of chitin, which is the same material that insect exoskeleton is made out of. But it's a very thin, and you can almost, if you look closely, you can actually see through it. And as the butterfly ages, it basically just starts coming, like, trimming down or falling off as the butterfly age. Even though butterflies don't live for that long, they only live for, like, some live for 10 days, some live for a couple weeks, but they do not live, they don't have a long lifespan. Now, just like birds, there are some species of butterfly, like the monarch butterfly. Once winter comes, they will actually migrate to get away from the cold. And I always thought that was a very cool fact that butterflies were actually have that know-how to know that when winter's coming, it's time for us to mesh together and leave and go south for the winter. Like, I think if you guys go take the time to go watch a video of monarch butterflies migrating, it is one of the most beautiful things you will ever see. Because it's just, you know, butterflies to me are very graceful creatures. You know, just the way they fly, just their colors, they're very beautiful. And I think having the chance to interact with them is a very moment that anybody should take. Because I've had a couple, you know, moments and, you know, with butterflies myself. They're a very significant animal to me and my family for reasons, you know. Anyway, though, that's pretty much all that I could, you know, when I researched today, all the stuff that was interesting and all the stuff that I brought to the table to you guys. So we're going to take a break and then we'll end the show and then do our roundabout and then we'll end it for the day. So be right back. And hello, guys, and welcome back. I did hope that you guys enjoyed the show. For me personally, it was a lot of fun doing this because, like I stated before, butterflies are a very significant animal to me and my life and my family. I guess now that the show's kind of wind down, I could actually tell you about a couple years ago, 9 years to be exact. You know, I don't know if I probably said it in a past one. I might have. I'm not sure in that special one where I told you guys about me. But I lost my mom. I was 18 when it happened, really young when it did, but one thing my grandma would always say was, you know, the day of her funeral, you know, she would always just see yellow butterflies just flying around, and it was, you know, and she said every time she saw one, she would say, you know, that was just her giving us a message, you know, that she's fine. But my most significant experience that I've ever had with one was I went camping with my best friends. And we were getting ready to go, and there was, you know, at this point, you know, I was trying to, you know, I'm a big photographer. I probably didn't tell you guys, but yes, I do photography. It's amateur photography, but, you know, y'all let me know if y'all want to see any of it, because I can give y'all a post to my Instagram if you want to go see those. But anyway, and there was this butterfly sitting on this wooden platform thing. And I want to take a picture of it because it's very rare to get one just sitting down. And this butterfly, for some reason, it wouldn't leave me alone. It landed, like, on my leg, on my pants. It just floated. It just flew around me, and it would never leave. I actually got a picture of it on my pants leg. It would just never leave me alone. And it was a very significant event for me because I've never had that kind of encounter with a butterfly before. Never one flying around me, especially not landing on me, and multiple times at that. And I'm a person who believes a lot of things happen for a reason. And I looked up, you know, the significance of a butterfly landing on you. And it's basically tell someone who you loved, who, you know, passed away, is telling you that everything's going to be fine, that they're okay. And, you know, so that gave me a lot of closure for me. And I know that was a lot, you know, deep and stuff, but, you know, I'm just explaining my experiences that I've had with butterflies, you know. But I do hope that you guys have taken something and learned something from the Wild About Animal podcast. I always look forward every Wednesday and now Saturday coming to you guys, and we all learn something new. Do not forget Saturday, you know, now we started our Saturday segments. This Saturday, we'll be talking about unknown giant snakes. And I'm not talking about anacondas. I'm actually talking about monster-sized giant snakes. So we're going to be diving into that Saturday on our Cryptid Saturday. So make sure you guys are there. And I will see you guys Saturday. Remember to stay wild and have a great rest of your day. And I will see you guys this Saturday. Hey guys, this is Jose from Wild About Animals. I just want to throw this in and be like, if you guys have any requests for any future podcasts, make sure you leave them on Facebook, and then I'll make sure I put them on a list, and I'll let you guys know over there. Back to the show we go.